Welcome back into the program. It is Monday. We are glad you are with us here on the Bun Sports Show at bunsports.com. David Sears is with us on this Monday. That's unusual, I know, but I had a couple of things to take care of on Friday, and David, as always, was kind enough to move it until Monday. So here we are. Not Friday the 13th or anything, Sears, but here you are on a Monday.
I'm used to working whenever I need be. It's part of the fun of working in radio, because you never know when a big story is going to break.
That is true, and there's not a whole lot breaking today, although there is one story out that I wanted to mention really quickly. Arkansas head coach Bobby Petrino was apparently involved in a motorcycle accident this morning. Now, according to those around him, he is in stable condition and is expected to make a full recovery there, but our prayers and thoughts here at Bun Sports go out to Coach Petrino. And, you know, Sears, we cover this. We make fun of coaches. We talk about their jobs all the time. We talk about the game. But there is a human side to this. And you and I have met a number of these coaches on a consistent basis. And I think that always gets lost in the shuffle, is thinking about that these are real people with real families, too.
It's true. And it's sad when anybody ever gets injured like this. And hopefully he'll recover quickly. I heard he just got banged up pretty good, but hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Well, let's get into our previews. We've been talking SEC. Last week we talked Vanderbilt and Florida. As David Sears, if you do not know his blog, the David Sears Experience, blogspot.com, you can go read those previews. They are up on his blog with about Vanderbilt and Florida as he counts down the top 25 teams over spring. This week on this program, we're going to talk Texas A&M and Missouri, the newest two members to the Southeastern Conference. Texas A&M, we'll start with them. They have new pretty much everything, including head coach. They're going to have a new quarterback this year. Their running back is a senior, Christine Michael. He has a torn ACL and may not be ready to go by the beginning of the year, so they may be looking for a new running back, too. So a lot of pieces to put together this year for Texas A&M. I believe it's going to be an uphill climb for the Aggies this year in the SEC.
It will be a very rude awakening for the Texas A&M Aggies. I mean, they've got a pretty rough go of it, seeing that they are in the SEC West. I mean, they get to play LSU, Arkansas, Alabama, and Auburn. You're looking at their schedule, their non-conference really isn't that bad. La Tech, SMU, Sam Houston State, and it's no real big shocker there, but their SEC opener, Florida at home. Then they get to have South Carolina State is another kind of move game after that, or SMU and South Carolina State. Then Arkansas, which has been a pretty good rivalry. There have been some pretty good games. Last year's epic meltdown in the Jerry Dome was quite unforgettable.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to be looking to revenge that, and they'll be at home at Kyle Field and College Station. Then they go to Ole Miss, home for LSU after a bye, then at Auburn, then at Mississippi State, and at Alabama. That's real tough road games, because Jordan Hare, Davis Wade, and Brian Denny are all difficult places to play for the opposition. And I think they may get some luck catching Alabama right after LSU, but that's a rough go of it right there during that little four-game stretch. LSU, Auburn, Mississippi State at Alabama, three of those games on the road. And then they get a little breather with Sam Houston State and home for a finale with the traditional rival of Missouri instead of Texas, which I'm sure many Texas A&M fans are happy about. But we've got a rough intro into the SEC. They're replacing, as you said, pretty awesome quarterback in Ryan Tannehill, who may be the third or fourth quarterback overall taken. Christine Michael injured. They're losing a prominent backup in Cyrus Gray. They're losing a pretty awesome wide receiver in Jeff Fuller. So that offense is going to be struggling. Their defense, they do have eight returning starters, so they're not going to be struggling too bad there. But and they're also going to be bringing in a new kicker for special teams, which is always fun when you're trying to bring in a new kicker, because you never know what you're going to get with a kicker. He could be the next Sebastian Janikowski, or he could just be a complete and utter head case, and you never really get to see what you want. But looking at Texas A&M, I think they're expected to have a decent year under first-year coach Kevin Sumlin. He's going to try to get him over the hump that Sherman never was able to quite get him over the hump. They always seemed like an 8-4, 7-5 team under Mike Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at that schedule, it's going to be a rough welcome into the SEC. You got to figure maybe 6-7 wins is reasonable. To think anything over that is a pie in the sky dream.
I agree. I really do. I mean, it's brutal. And you talk about the quarterback position battle. Jameel Showers is a third-year sophomore. I guess he's maybe the leader going into spring, but things can change. And Jonathan Manziel, he's the athlete, but he's only a redshirt freshman himself. So, I mean, he's the one that the coaches look at and say, wow, he's the quarterback of the future, but he's a redshirt freshman, so not as much experience, obviously. At least Jameel Showers did play in games last year. Looking at the schedule, you're absolutely right. They do get that open week before LSU, but they're going to need it. I mean, they're going to already have played Florida and Arkansas in the first part of this, and then the second part, the second half of the season. I mean, as you mentioned, at Auburn, at Mississippi State, at Alabama. I mean, good gracious, the people at the SEC just lined them up, away game after away game in the West, and it's already tough enough. So, yeah, I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm not seeing more than 6 wins that they should get. Now, obviously, they could knock off, I mean, I don't see them knocking off Alabama, LSU, probably not Auburn, probably not even Mississippi State, and probably not Florida, but I do think they could get to 6 or 7 wins if they were to upset somebody.
They should be able to get their non-conference play there, but the thing is they would have to count two of their 1AA opponents as victories this year to be bowl eligible, and I don't even think you're allowed to count more than one, so I don't even know if they'd be able to make a bowl without a special exception from the NCAA. Playing two 1AA opponents does not help you in the long run, especially when you're trying to bolster the reason why you're in the SEC is that you're a legitimate team, and their hardest non-conference team's probably going to be SMU when they're playing at SMU. I mean, how do you get to play at La Tech at SMU?
I don't know. That was some harebrained scheduling.
Starting October 20th, when they play 4 straight SEC West opponents, 3 on the road, I just do not see them coming out of that with a victory. I think maybe Mississippi State, but Auburn should have a quarterback by then, and Alabama should probably be clicking in the secondary by that time. So I just don't see Texas A&M having a good first year in the SEC.
Of the two teams that are coming into the conference, I would definitely say Texas A&M has the larger hill to climb, and that's just because also they have a new coach, and when you have a new coach, I think we can all agree that Kevin Sumlin has some potential, but we don't know yet. He's coming, of course, from Houston. Houston had a great year last year, but we don't know what Kevin Sumlin, how he will be able to handle that program once he gets into the arena that is the SEC. And you're right on the 1AA. This is how I understand it. You're able to count one of those games every 2 years, so obviously that would rule out any possibility of counting two in 1 year. So I'm not exactly sure what Texas A&M was thinking there or what they're going to be able to do about that if they do get into a 6-5, 6-game winning situation there at the end of the year. We shall see. Missouri is the other team coming into the conference this year. They, of course, have junior James Franklin back at the quarterback position, and he put up some incredible numbers last season, and he is projected to be one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC. But the big question, though, Sears, is Missouri relies so heavily on their offense. Will their offense be the same in the SEC as it was the Big 12?
Well, they have 5 returning starters on offense. They're having to replace half their offensive line, and they're breaking in new wide receivers because they're losing Gerald Jackson, West Kemp, and then a pretty awesome tight end in Michael Agnew. So they're breaking in new wide receivers, new tight ends. It's going to be rough for Missouri in the SEC offensively, but I think that defense is a lot better than people are giving them credit for. Their schedule in the SEC is pretty favorable. The SEC East is down.
So on the beginning part.
Well, I'm saying their SEC East is down this year.
Yeah.
So it's going to be wide open. If they can get over that Georgia hump on September the 8th, look out. But you do have to respect Missouri having some decent non-conference games outside of Southeastern Louisiana.
Absolutely.
They're in Arizona State, at UCF, and then a home for Syracuse. So two BCS opponents, one mid-major, and one AA. So that's not too bad.
No.
But that Georgia opener is going to tell a lot for both Georgia and Missouri. Then they play Arizona State at home. Then they go on the road to South Carolina, and that's going to be an experience unlike anything they've been with, because that stadium can get very raucous, even though it's not that big.
Right.
And on the road again for at UCF. Home for a feisty Vanderbilt.
That's going to be interesting.
If they don't respect Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt will take them out, because Vanderbilt is a very, very good squad. Then home again for Alabama. Then Kentucky for homecoming after a bye at Florida. That's going to be an interesting weekend for the SEC. You got Alabama, LSU, Florida, and Missouri. And Missouri is going to get to experience the swamp. And if Florida is just abandoning all hope of the Will Muschamp bandwagon, then that game can be very messy. You can go to Neyland Stadium the week after Florida, home for Syracuse, and they finish up the season with traditional rival Texas A&M. So to say that they'll have the easier time adjusting the SEC is a very accurate statement.
Yeah.
Don't see them having as many troubles. They could have 8 wins because the SEC East is so down this year. Joker Phillips isn't really doing what they thought he would do at Kentucky.
No.
So that Kentucky game could be a winnable game. But a lot of that season is going to hinge on what they do against Georgia for that SEC opener.
Well, the only thing I see that could be a potential danger for them on their schedule, and I agree, it all comes down to divisions, and Texas A&M's in the West, and Missouri's in the East, and of course that is advantage Missouri all day long at this point in time. But at Florida, at Tennessee, Syracuse, at Texas A&M, that's going to be a tough ending. I mean, you have two games back-to-back in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium and Neyland Stadium. I don't care how poorly Tennessee and Florida have been the last year and a half, 2 years. Those two places are never easy to play, and you know one or two of those games is going to be at night on primetime television. And then at Texas A&M at the end of the year, Texas A&M is going to be hyped up there, as you mentioned, a rivalry game. So I can see Missouri having a really good year, as you said, 7, 8, maybe even 9 wins on the year, but it's going to be a rough ending. The question I have for you now, Sears, how realistic of a chance does Missouri have in putting their name on one of those end zones in the Georgia Dome?
I'd say pretty good. If they could split with South Carolina and Georgia, they'll be in the thick of things, but if they go 0-4 on South Carolina and Georgia, there's no way they make it to Atlanta. Mark Richt has a history of choking when he has high expectations, so I definitely could see Georgia laying an egg in Ferrat Field and making Missouri a contender for the SEC right off the bat. Georgia, I'm not quite buying the hype, so I really think the SEC East is wide open this year, and we're going to have to see these teams play a couple of games to get a good feel on what's going on in the SEC East. Because I'll be honest, I really see it right now as a 4-team race in the SEC East. And Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina, and dark horse Vanderbilt. And I don't see Kentucky doing anything. I don't see the Gators of Florida doing anything. And I really don't see the Tennessee Volunteers doing anything. So I could see a 3-loss SEC East champion coming out and representing the SEC East against the SEC West champion.
All right, quickly, Texas A&M and Missouri. I'm going to give you a shot here at predicting. I know it's spring. We may redo this later as fall approaches. We'll see what transpires between now and then. But a quick prediction on wins for Texas A&M. I say 6. I think 6 is a good number. You know, like you said, I think they'll win their non-conference games. I think they will beat Ole Miss. And then I think one of the Auburn, Mississippi State, maybe even somebody like Florida, but I don't know. But I think they get one of those games, and so they get to 6 wins.
I think that A&M will probably end up with 5 wins. I don't see them having a winning.
No, I think that's realistic. I really do, with all they have coming back. Missouri, I say 7.
Missouri, I'm going to go 8.
Okay.
I really think Missouri, Arizona State's going to be down. Obviously, southeastern Louisiana. I think they can get UCF. I think they can get Syracuse. And I think they can go at least 4-4 in the SEC.
Yeah.
With a down Kentucky, a down Tennessee. I'd probably get A&M. They beat them last year. That's 7 right there.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get either Georgia or South Carolina, so that'll give them 8. So I like 8 for Missouri.
The only thing about Georgia and South Carolina, I think South Carolina, they really have a small chance of winning, like you said, in Columbia. That's a very tough place to win, to play and win, and I don't think people give it enough credit. And then Georgia is at home, but the only thing about Georgia is that's going to be kind of welcome to the SEC week 2. You wonder if they're going to be quite ready for the level. And I know Georgia's Georgia. They're not Alabama or LSU, but they are still an SEC program. They hit like SEC teams. And you just wonder if or we may be overdoing it. I don't know, but it's going to be an initiation one way or the other.
I agree 100%. Missouri has the easier initiation. A&M's basically the pledge that nobody likes, and they're just going to get the ever-loving stew beaten out of them.
David Sears, great stuff as always, previewing Texas A&M and Missouri. These are our spring previews, folks. We'll do them again later with more seriousness as we approach the college football season. But that's what we do here on the Bun Sports Show, is talk college football year-round. And so we will continue to do that. We'll discuss the rest of the SEC teams. And, yes, we will get to Alabama and Auburn.
Past two national champions right there. You got to talk about that.
It will be fun. Hey, Sears, we'll talk. Thanks for being on.
All right, let's thank you for having me on.
This is the Bun Sports Show on BunSports.com. We will be back soon.